as far as horror goes, one of the most effective games I've ever played. Plus, it's just the level design of the space station that you're on is freaking awesome, and the story was really well told and freaking great.
I don't know if I can handle that, honestly.
Total win. Creative Assembly, the same studio that mostly does the like Rome Total War strategy games, just like did this hard left and made one of the greatest ever horror games. Truly amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Not for everyone.
Yeah, but you will. You will start tonight.
Make me. Welcome to a new episode of Brushes and Keys. This is Angela Bermudez.
I'm Austin, and we are talking about horror in our continued parade through various media that have explored horror for this ghastly month of October. Last time with an emphasis on film, now we talk about horror games. And before we started recording, you said, but then promptly have now cut, your admission that you are a coward and therefore haven't played many horror games.
Yes, actually, yeah. I was saying that I probably have almost, zero experience of this topic, since I avoid video games that scare me. And yeah, you're probably gonna take over the conversation today, as per usual.
Hey.
But I have some knowledge.
Is there any example of one? Like for example, I made a list of games, some of which...
You made a list? That's new.
Some of which are sort of debatable if they're horror, but I include them because one of the things that I like is that horror as a genre, whether you're talking about, you know, literature, film, TV, etc., runs a really wide... You know, it's a big tent. There's a big umbrella under there.
No,
so
for sure.
Sometimes horror includes like the sort of dark, the darkly comedic, and sometimes horror is like darkly comedic in a Coen Brothers way, or sometimes it's darkly comedic it's actually kind of light and a little silly. Like, remember that movie Freaky, that was like the horror movie version of Freaky Friday with Vince Vaughn, where it's a slasher film, but it's basically a comedy. But it's a comedy nested within the horror genre. And then there's earnestly terrifying or horrifying horror in the out there as well.
It has a lot of yes.
Not that movie. I'm saying the genre includes things that are genuinely bone chilling and includes things that are straight up comedy.
Yeah, what you're saying is some of the games might dip their toes in the horror, but they're not really horror.
Like, I put Bioshock, a game I know you've played, of course.
I will put Bioshock in horror, for sure.
Like, it is not horror in the sense of, it's not scary, necessarily.
It's not scary as...
Like, jump scares kind of scary.
Yeah, it's not a Chainsaw Massacre game, but it has some jump scares, it has blood, it has violence, and I think it is a horror game. I think it belongs to that category as well. You can put it in action or whatever, you know, but it also has the tag. For me, personally, I think it has the tag to be a horror game as well.
When you played Bioshock, did you, like, scream and you know...
Always scream, even if there are no horror. That's why I don't stream.
It's true. You have screamed from like Fire Team, which has you know, which is like an action game. That's definitely, I wouldn't call it a horror game.
No, but it has. Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. It's a shooter, but it also makes me scream because whatever, you know, the stress or the amount of creatures are surround you and you can't get rid of quickly or whatever, but mostly stress. I tend to be a little loud.
Yeah, I can always tell when I just hear this occasional ah, and it's very funny. Yeah. So yeah, to me, BioShock. I do remember the very first time I played it. You know, 20 almost years ago.
Wow.
2007. Yeah, so 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, BioShock and Mass Effect are both pretty old. But yeah, that I remember there was more than one occasion where I was underprepared to deal with a big daddy, and it was chasing me, and I felt a distinct heart elevated, like adrenaline running away from it. There's a couple moments where that something similar to that happened in Half-Life. I remember, which again is a game that I wouldn't necessarily call horror, but it draws from a lot of horror convention with
the
creepy bits. You could even put The Last of Us in that category where. I don't really think of The Last of Us as horror either.
But it has zombies, and it has... I think it is a horror game as well.
There's no question that there's like the creeping around in the basement in the dark, hiding from clickers, is like quintessential horror gameplay. Whether the whole game is a horror, I think of it as a drama because it's so much about the relationship of the characters.
It's still a horror game. As deep as the story can be, it is a horror game. I guess we're used to have horror games, have horror anything, as their main factor is the
horror.
Gruesome aspect of it. Yeah, horror. But not they don't make us think about life or anything, but The Last of Us has a lot of that. And that might be a little bit confusing if you want to classify that in between horror game or drama. It might create a little bit of difficulty to do that, if anything. But mostly I think it's because we're used to have... The horror stuff is just simple story. That's what I'm saying, I think. But I will put it in horror.
That's where I think the priority of the creators is... You know, genre labels can be very messy and unhelpful, but I think... the thinking of it in terms of whatever the creator has prioritized. So, for example, if it's mostly about being terrifying, but it has some moments of great character development or things like that, then I would call it a horror game with some dramatic moments. Whereas, like The Last of Us, I would call a drama with some horror moments because it's not prioritizing the horror. It at most it uses that as a setting. Or as a device in which to make us, you know, care more about the characters. Which is the same reason why, to me, I wouldn't necessarily call BioShock horror or Half-Life horror, but both have scary moments or disturbing moments. You know, like to me, BioShock has some quintessentially disturbing things that make you think about the dark side of human nature. And that's kind of my favorite type of horror, where... But you see what people are willing to do, or you see what limits people can be pushed to, like Midnight Mass. You know, yes, of course, it has like, spoiler, it has like, you know, this kind of vampire thing. But mostly it's about watching people be manipulated by other people, which is horror in this wonderful psychological way.
Yeah, it's a wide gamma.
Yeah, absolutely. So the wide spectrum of... horror applies to games as well. So the first one that I thought of, because it was one of the few games I remember being genuinely terrified the entire time, is Fear.
I haven't played that one.
There's a few sequels.
But I know it.
I never played any of the sequels. It's a game that feels so like manga. It feels so...
manga? Okay, I'm Googling right now.
Like just the rhythm of the gameplay, and it has that, you know, creepy little like The Ring or The Grudge, you know, like the little creepy girl.
Yeah, this is very familiar.
It's principally a shooter, but it's a shooter. It's just undoubtedly a horror game.
This is a Japanese game.
Yeah. I can't actually remember who the developer was, but it felt very Japanese. It felt like a Japanese horror film. That game was so effective at, you know, you'd be walking down a hallway and you'd hear like footsteps of the little girl and you turn around and there's no one. And it was like, ah, it was so creepy.
Yeah, I've never played it before, but this is very familiar.
It's creepy as all hell. And super recommended. I have no idea if it aged well or if it, you know, is still good. I mean, it must have been also about 15 years ago, maybe more.
It says that it's from 2005.
So yeah, there you go. Not more than 15 years, but it was, that game was, at the time at least, I was creeped out so effectively. And I would play like at night in the dark, I'd turn off all those lights in the room and really like commit, you know, headphones
close to the screen. Are you fucking crazy?
It's the only way to do it.
I will never do that. I will never do that. I guess the closest game I played that looks like this, but I guess it's too different to compare. But it's Japanese. It's called Fatal Frame. But I didn't play it all. Like I didn't finish. It was just too much for me. And I was so young anyway. But
yeah, and you know, actually, that game calls to mind like classics like Resident Evil or Silent Hill.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Which I never...
Have you tried before? No?
Yeah. I played random entries of the... I never really got into Silent Hill, but I've played random bits of Resident Evil. Like, obviously, we did Village hiding from Lady Dimitrescu at home on the PlayStation. And I remember playing, like, Resident Evil, you know, maybe 2 and 4.
I know that she's not in through the game. She's just... there for a few minutes and then
it's way more than a few minutes. No, you have to constantly hide from her. She appears constantly and you have until you can kill all her daughters. She's always like patrolling the hallways, and so you'll be trying to figure out, how do I get in this room, and then you see her coming and you have to run and hide because you can't kill her.
She's
this constant presence that's sort of like, it's what's so effective is she's so creepy that she walks really slowly, so she's easy to escape from, but there's something much more disturbing and kind of unnerving about the slow and steady way that
honestly
she moves.
I think she's very inspired. It sounds like a nemesis from Resident Evil 2, I think.
Maybe. I honestly don't even really remember the other games. I remember playing on PS3, whatever came out then, and it was never my favorite. It was part of it is that I didn't play them on PC, and I never liked third-person...
Resident 3 is Nemesis, if I'm not mistaken. That was the first Resident Evil I played. Again, just played for a little bit, and I just couldn't... I got so stressed every time that guy just, you know, break through the wall, and... I can't... It's so stressful.
Yeah.
I feel so bad because I know I'm missing out. So much.
Oh yeah.
But also, yeah, I might need to, you know.
Fear, I recommend.
Not be alone.
One that I think is one of the greats ever is Alien Isolation, because it took the vibe and general sensibility of the Ridley Scott Alien and made basically a perfect game out of it. I thought that was one of like my favorite games ever. I think I played it through start to finish twice.
What?
Yeah.
When
it first came out. It was like 5, 6, 7 years ago, something like that.
I don't think I think you played on
PC in my Steam.
No, you played it on the
Switch. I have it on Switch, and I played for maybe an hour. But I didn't that would have been my third time starting it.
It's still on the Switch. You think I should play that?
Yeah, I just found it so difficult to control because I really prefer keyboard and mouse for any first person game. I just do not like controller style dual stick for first person. I hate it. I'm not good at it. It's very unintuitive. So I started, because I read an article that when the game got ported to Switch, somewhere in Polygon or something said something to the effect of, this is like the perfect version of this game because you play it at night in bed in the dark. The screen is right in front of your face. It's really creepy. Put on headphones. It's really awesome. And I was like, ooh, that sounds exciting. But then I was with the dual stick. I was going, ugh, I just can't play this. Like, I need my mouse.
What a shame, because it sounds really cool.
It's a masterpiece. I mean, the game. I mean, look, you got your Steam library there. Play it on Steam. It is.
I don't know.
It is a masterpiece. But here's the thing. Here's what I love about that game. Much like it does two things that the film also does that it executes on brilliantly. First, you spend quite a bit of time playing the game before you even encounter a xenomorph. Like, you spend a lot of time learning your way around the space station and dealing with humans and stuff before you ever see or even know there's an alien. And that is great because you bought a game called Alien Isolation. So you're like, I know it's coming at some point. So every room you go
you're
in has this.
You're just giving away the fun.
Oh, come on, not even close. But it does take its time. I mean, it's like a 20-plus hour game. And so, you know, it's a solid, like, people thought it was too long. I disagreed. I loved every second of it.
But honestly, it sounds that I'm not going to play it. I don't think with that introduction, I don't think I will be interested in playing.
I think it's one of the best games I've ever played. Like, I love it to death. I think you would be missing out if you skip it.
Interesting.
Because the point is, everything, you're paranoid everywhere you go because you're like,
yeah,
when is the alien going to
appear?
But
now I know that it's not coming.
Well, when? I'm not telling you when it's happening.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah,
you're overanalyzing me, I promise. It takes its time, which is fantastic. But then what I also love that it does is it's not like Fireteam or other action games where at some point you just have really powerful guns and you're a total badass. Like, all 20 hours of the game, as with Ridley Scott's Alien, the xenomorph is supremely dangerous. Like, so it's basically like, if it sees you, you're dead. You know,
okay.
It's mostly a game about hiding from it. And it's so effective all the way through. In fact, there's a great mechanic where you have to hide, like, in lockers or in closets. And they have, like, little holes you can look through. And if you use the little radar thing that's, you know, thump,
yeah,
thump, you can see where the alien is, but that also, it can find you from the noise, so you have to use it carefully. And I remember talking to the audio folks on the team, and they told me there was a bug where they developed this interactive score where it would crescendo and get really big and nasty and scary when the alien was nearby, and then if the alien doesn't know you're there, the music slowly quiets back down and disappears. And so you have this moment where you're in the hallway or you're in the closet and it's going and it's building and you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, is it going to see me? Is it going to see me? And they discovered a bug where occasionally the system thought the alien was there, but it wasn't. So the music would start to get big and scary, but there's no actual danger. But as an...
They didn't
remove it because it was so effective.
Bunch of bastards.
I remember experiencing it where I would be sitting there and I'd be like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And then the music dies down and you're like, it makes you convinced, like, it makes you feel paranoid, which is perfect. It makes you feel like you're always afraid of it. You're always hiding from it, even if it's not there. It's so masterful, this game. Also, another thing that game does is you can only save your game from these machines on the walls. You can't just, like, hit F5 the way a lot of other first-person get, which means that you have to look to see if the coast is clear and then run like hell to these, like, these kind of, like, phone-looking machines on the wall to save your game. And if the alien, like, catches you while you're running, it's whatever your last save point was, you know, which is a very old-school mechanic. And it's so effective because it makes you always scared. Like, it was one of the most, as far as horror goes, one of the most effective games I've ever played. Plus, it's just the level design of the space station that you're on is freaking awesome, and the story was really well told, and freaking great.
I don't know if I can handle that, honestly.
They even did things like film grain and stuff so that it really feel like it opens with the 20th Century Fox logo in this like 24 frames per second, very grainy. It was like they just did everything right. Total win.
Wow.
Creative Assembly, the same studio that mostly does the like Rome Total War strategy games just like did this hard left and made one of the greatest ever horror games. Truly amazing. Yeah,
not for everyone.
Yeah, but you will. You will start tonight.
Make me.
I will. So good. So yeah, so there's like that kind of game and Fear, which are genuinely like terrifying at their greatest moments. Another one that I put down that I think is sort of like interestingly in that nebulous zone. Since we already mentioned BioShock, I should have mentioned it earlier, but Ken's previous game, System Shock 2. Mm. I remember when I played that, which was System Shock 2 was like 2000 or something like that. I mean, it was I was in high school. What year was System Shock 2? 99.
Yeah.
That game was so freaking scary.
Really?
Yeah, at the time, you know, because you would hear these, like the midwives, where from a sound design standpoint, so like visceral and striking and shocking and terrifying of hearing them, you know, where they're like looking for their, you know, they're like looking for you going, where are you? And it's all glitched out and computerized. So it's, you know, and it just never wasn't creepy. And yeah, kind of like the way the splicers in BioShock
right.
are like these broken souls.
Yeah.
Similarly, the various kind of almost quasi undead bad guys in System Shock 2. And the whole point of that game is that, you know, you wake up on a spaceship that's been completely gone completely to hell, just the same way that Rapture has gone to hell at the opening of BioShock. You're on this spaceship and you're like a Marine. You know, you're a soldier and you were in like cryo sleep and you're trying to figure out what the hell has gone wrong. And so it has a lot of those same mechanics of the voice logs that you find, mm-hmm. like you find in BioShock and in Infinite. And I remember there was one really memorable one where there's also ghosts in the game where you see like these shimmering remain like apparitions of people. And I remember once going into a closet where you see, you activate like the voice log and you see their ghosts and they're talking about they can't handle it and they pull a gun and they shoot themselves in the head and their ghost like falls down into a corpse on the ground. And so it was like this, I'd never seen that before in a game where you look at their dead body and then you actually witness the recreation of their death. Mm-hmm. And it was just very striking. I mean, it was more 23 years ago and I still remember it. The crazy thing is that I found out that game was not successful. System Shock really? 2 was like kind
it's
of
so popular though.
Well, I think it's because BioShock retroactively made people go, what else has this guy made? But apparently System Shock 2 was really underperformed in the so-called like sim genre where it was sort of one of those games that was crashing together a shooter and horror and also RPG elements where you're leveling up your character and you're choosing traits like, oh, I want to level up hacking, I want to level up weapons abilities, all that. It was very RPG tech tree kind of stuff, which I found amazing. I'd never played a game like that. Deus Ex came out around the same time and both blew me away for the way they combined RPG elements with first person shooter, but System Shock was absolutely a terrifying experience, whereas Deus Ex was like cool, more like cyberpunk. But anyway, yeah, so I would put that one. And then a recent game that's in a similar vein is called Prey, where it's very space. Again, you're like on a space station that's all messed up.
Isn't it like 50% of video games on space, of like horror games? We have Dead Space, we have...
Yeah, of course, Dead Space is a classic. And you can't mention Dead Space without mentioning Jason Graves, who that was like... You know, what Journey did for me, Dead Space did for him. It launched his career. It won a million awards. And it
was really?
It was such... I remember... I didn't know Jason.
Is he involved in the new one that's coming?
I saw him... I haven't asked him personally. And I saw him tweet that his understanding was they were just reusing all the old music. So I don't think he's done anything new for it. Because that's a classic example where, like, they can remaster the graphics and all that kind of stuff. But... the music is already, you know, as good as it's going to get.
Oh, it's a remaster.
It's something like that. I don't know. I don't know much about there if it's like a remaster or a full remake like The Last of Us just recently got, that kind of thing.
I see. Well, that one I have still to play. I have it there, bought it a little bit ago, and yes, I'm gonna play that one because, yeah, I mean, why not? I guess I should.
It's great, and it's one of those where
I know that I'm gonna scream a lot. I have it. Yeah, it mostly because I'm curious of I saw a little bit of it, and I'm very curious of the story and the creatures, you know, the design and what happened to them, all that. Yeah. So, yeah, I might give it a chance.
You absolutely should. I don't remember when the remake is coming out. January.
I remember another that I do when I play, and you have recommended a lot. I guess a lot of people have recommended this one. Actually, they have told me you should cosplay. It's Hellblade.
Yeah, Hellblade is an interesting one where, again, because horror tends to have a wide definition, I think you can at least, at minimum, say it's a game with horror elements.
Right.
It's very much, it delves into, the whole game is one big kind of metaphor for, like, psychosis.
Like,
you know, so it takes place kind of like in, like, imagine what it's like to be a broken mind. And so the game is constantly like all these, you hear whispering in your head from people that aren't there. And there's a lot of like kind of burning in hell type moments and a lot of real creepy dark spots. And it's really effective. I really loved it. That game was quite unlike any other game because it has this pretty sophisticated action, like sword fighting mechanic. But it's actually surprisingly uncommon in the gameplay. You spend most of your time solving puzzles and navigating the world and just in the sort of atmosphere of it. But then every now and again, a sword fight pops up that's actually quite challenging. So there's got this like Elden Ring or Dark Souls style sword fighting.
Ooh, Elden Ring has a lot of that as well. Like I know that it's not a horror game, but it has some pretty awful straight up from hell shit.
Yeah, the creature design is a classic example of one where I would call it a game that has horror elements or horror influences, but I wouldn't necessarily call it a horror game
because it's not
a game that's meant to make you feel scared all the time.
Exactly. No, but it does have some serious nasty stuff in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you should. I think you should play Dead Space, and I think you should play...
I think Dead Space is the one that I'm going to start. If I play something, that's going to be that.
January is when it looks like the new one is supposedly coming out by the looks of my Googling here. So just a few months away. So yeah, Hellblade is a good one. I mentioned Prey. Prey does a cool thing, by the way, that I really like where... part of the whole thing is that there's these aliens that can mimic objects in the world. So you never know when there's an enemy in a room. So it's really great. You walk in and there'll be like a coffee cup on the table and it bursts to life and they look like kind of like face huggers from Alien where it, except they're jet black and they're kind of twitchy. So you'll be walking along and then just a coffee cup transforms into a thing that tries to kill you. But 90% of the coffee cups you see on tables are just coffee cups. So there's a constant paranoia of which one of these things is going to turn and kill me or try to kill me. Right. And it never stops being scary. Even as you get bigger guns and become more badass, it never stops to kind of feel anxious. Like what's going to catch me off guard here and surprise me?
Yeah, that's probably one of the main reasons I'm not into horror games because of the anxiety.
Oh, yeah, it's all about that.
In a daily basis, and I don't think I'm...
Does Canvas make you feel anxiety?
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, when she doesn't eat for a full day, she kind of makes me think that there's something going on. But no, yeah, that's probably one of the main aspects of why I don't play is because of my sanity, I guess. My
you played
because you think you want to play to relax, right? Or at least that's how I am. I want to have fun.
That it's funny. So in the show that I did with Tripod years ago, This Gaming Life, there's a whole song called crap, I'm blanking on the name of it. It's a song about like when your loved ones don't appreciate why you love gaming. Like if your friends or your family or your spouse or whoever sees it as just you sitting around being lazy, and to you it's this creative, imaginative, it really is no different than reading a great book or watching a great film. No one tells you, did all you do is watch movies today? If like you're like in tears and gripped by some, you know, cinematic masterpiece. And there's a game, Shutdown is what it's called, where it's like, you know, every time someone says, what'd you do today? And you're like, oh, it's amazing. I found the runes in the dungeon. And they're like, so you wasted time. And you feel super shut down, you know? So it's, there's a whole song about that. And there's a great bit where it builds and builds and builds and builds. Where
is there a way to, sorry for interrupting. No, we can't see it. There's no way we can find it.
No. Well, there's bits of it on YouTube from the ABC special about the show. If you just Google This Gaming Life, but it's this particular song, I don't think is on there.
Our dear listeners.
You could put the trailer, at least, so they can get a sense.
Is that because of some law thing?
It's just
some
never legal? Been properly recorded. It's only been done live.
Oh, it's so good though.
But yeah, so we did this bit where the song is exploding and exploding, and Tripod wrote this stuff that's like where the person is going back and forth, and the orchestra is just da 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 da, and it's absolutely chaotic. And the person says, "I just do it to relax." Like they're defending all their reasons for gaming. It's like I develop skills, I learn things, a lot. They're naming all the reasons why gaming
English
is good. Yeah, I learned to drive. And they say, I do it to relax. And the person says, but you do it instead of sleeping, which I think is hilarious because it's so true. Like I've never been one to say, I think of games as a relaxing medium because I've been that guy a million times who's playing and can't stop. And then I go, oh my God, it's 3 a.m. I really must stop myself, but it's just so good. I just can't tear myself away. Like, remember when Last of Us 2 came out and we were up until like 3 a.m, day after day after day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I never think of it as a relaxing hobby, which is why I guess I've never...
It is not.
Yeah, which
it's supposed to, when you play games, you're like, I'm going to go have fun and, you know, have just forget about tasks, forget about work. Whatever.
But all the best games for me are not like that. They're puzzle games. They're strategy games. They're games where you're honing your skills. It's fun, but it's not relaxing or it's not chill. The whole idea is it sparks your mind.
All games are stressful. The only game that is not as stressful is probably...
What, Animal Crossing or something?
Yes,
like,
I forgot.
Yeah, like there are games like
that.
I
was going to say Animal Crossing.
Very chill, very like meditative or silly or whatever. Like there's absolutely those kinds of games.
Right.
Match 3 kind of games or like the Words with Friends, those kinds of games. But
but it's fun. No, I understand the fun of being involved in a stressful situation. I guess it's funnier when it's not me, but it is pretty interesting also just to manage to deal with those situations yourself. And yeah, you're gonna hear me scream a little bit
but that's good.
Once I start this game.
Here's one that you did play, Inside.
Oh, what a beautiful game.
But that game has some definite horror, like full-blown, like, oh my God, kind of moments.
Yep, absolutely. But it is so, what's the word I'm looking for? It kind of like wakes up my curiosity. I'm not sure what's the word I'm looking for.
What, like intrigues you?
Yes, it's very, very, you can say that. It is so pretty.
It is definitely pretty.
I'm not gonna explain much. I just think it's just so It's a must. It has to be played by everybody who's listening to this podcast, like, immediately.
Agreed. And actually, not because of its horror, I would just add, because it's just one of the greatest games ever made. It's maybe arguably the most perfect game ever made. I mean,
That's a big statement.
Well, but think of it. The game never tells you anything. It just relies on how intuitive it is, and yet it tells a shockingly deep story.
There is one that people compare with Inside, which is Little Nightmares. I haven't played that one, but I think it's pretty close to Inside. I'm not sure if it's the same studio or anything.
No, I don't think it's the same studio. I've heard of Little Nightmares. I never played that game. I should put
that on my wish list as well, because that Little Nightmares is like, it looks like a combination of some, you know, Tim Burton.
Yeah, it does. It looks cuter and a little bit more kind of like classic, like Coraline and that kind of thing.
Right.
As opposed to Inside, which is. Inside there's is no super cuteness dark. To Inside. It's very dark and heavy and brutal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should play this game. I have heard of it, but I never played it.
Yes, we should play it together.
You just want someone to hold your hand.
You should come over and play Dead Space with me right now.
Mm-hmm. No, we wait until it comes properly. So another one on my list, I just put for fun. Fun horror games. And the three that I put on my list were Doom, of course.
Oh, nice.
Like, particularly the remake, Doom 2016. Right. And it's not actually technically a remake, but Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal they're like, as Rami Ismail put it, they are speed metal in video game form. Like, they're not horror. They're horror in the, you know, like slasher film kind of vein, or like the kind of ludicrous horror gore fest kind of movies, as opposed to creepy walk around in the shadows, but they're just pure classic body horror kind of games.
Mm-hmm. It's entertaining. It's funny because what about, I don't know, Plants vs. Zombies? Where will you put that?
I don't think that the presence of zombies automatically makes things horror.
Bloody. It has blood.
But it's like a kid's game. I mean, it's silly.
Yeah, but still.
I think horror definitionally should have some element of creepy or scary or like disturbing. And anything that's cute kind of instantly isn't those things.
A cute murder?
Yeah, I would be interested if somebody could argue against that point. But like quasi-similar is Left 4 Dead, which is straight up, like, I mean, that Left 4 Dead is just like Aliens Fireteam in many respects. It's like way one. Oh, it's so fun.
Is it a multiplayer, I guess, shooter?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a great, good, jolly good time.
So what is the plot of this?
It's waves of zombies. I mean, it's literally just imagine zombies instead of xenomorphs, where you and a squad have just like millions of them coming at you.
So it's not like a jump scare horror.
Not really. Like, there are occasionally survival. Like big ones where you're trying to escape them and stuff. But it's so fun. But to me, it's definitely horror. But it's in the horror the way that horror action can exist. You know, like the what was that Zack Snyder Las Vegas zombie movie we watched,
which is
kind of like action and over the top set pieces and stuff.
Can't remember the name.
Army of the Dead.
Yes.
Yeah, like that. Like Left 4 Dead is a game in a sensibility of a game of a movie like that. It's really fun. The ones I really like, and this is why I liked Alien Isolation and Inside, where the best horror are the ones that you are essentially fully defenseless against whatever is scary. You don't have a gun, you don't have a sword, you don't have the ability to fend it off. It's about hiding, it's about avoidance, about overcoming it. So a great game in this way is called Soma, which takes place kind of like BioShock. It takes place in like this undersea facility. Mm-hmm. Man, so good. That I really liked that game where you don't really ever have much ability to kind of do anything but just hide. And it's so dripping with atmosphere and creepiness and like weird imagery and highly recommended as the classic kind of horror where you
is it Japanese?
No.
Hmm.
No, I remember I met once the guy that was the lead writer on it, Scandinavian sort of smaller developer. Excellent, excellent game though. And there was a sequel made by my friends at a studio called The Chinese Room based in Brighton, Dan Pinchbeck and his wife, Jessica Curry, called Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs, which was a very creepy kind of walking simulator sequel. And I remember she wrote this beautiful score and she got nominated at the Gang Awards and won, but her health was such that she couldn't travel. So she messaged me ahead of time and said, if I should win, and assuming you're at the awards, can you go up on stage and say thanks for me? And so kind of like Joey accepting on her on behalf.
Right.
I remember.
You have her trophy still?
No. She got it. Okay. It was mailed to her. But I remember it's the most fun I've ever had with an awards acceptance speech because it wasn't for me. So and I had voted for her. So I felt especially happy because the one I voted for and the one I felt should win did win. So I remember I got up and I held the trophy and I said, hey, congrats. We all voted correctly. Yeah, but that was a great, very kind of atmospheric and creepy game, sort of along the lines of Soma. Although, as I recall, it purely relied on your imagination because I don't think you could actually die in Machine for Pigs. Much like Dear Esther and Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, you know, this is a pure so-called walking simulator game, except in a horror context where, you know, it just was unnerving atmosphere, but you weren't ever actually in danger, which if I'm remembering correctly, I haven't played it since it first came out. By the way, I meant to mention another one when I was talking about fun horror like Doom and Left 4 Dead. There's another one that was really cool from a couple years ago called Carrion. That's a 2D, like kind of Metroidvania style side scroller game where you play like look it up on Google Images.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea what it is.
It was such a cool game where you basically play this monster that's sort of breaking out of a lab that's holding it captive.
Oh my god.
And it's like kind of pixel art.
This is pretty.
Yeah, it was so fun to play. So satisfying to like grab the guys and kill them.
I think you showed me when you were playing this one. I was very curious and forgot completely the existence of this game. But it looks so cool. And the animation, I remember, was really cool.
Yep, especially. Very satisfying. Chris Velasco did the score. And I remember thinking he did a really nice job. And the game is...
It's just 2 years old.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. I thought it was more than 2 years, but yeah, that sounds about right, I guess. Maybe it came out in the early times of the pandemic.
Oh, I should definitely give it a try. This looks amazing.
It's really fun. And it's really good kind of old-fashioned monster horror.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, it brings memories. It has a little bit of... I can see the people doesn't have face. It feels very much like Inside.
It's a little bit... I mean, it's got a little kind of mild humor that Inside doesn't really have. But so there, I have a couple more I can mention. I have a friend named Robin Arnott, who is a sound designer, who... years ago, like more than 10 years ago, he made a horror game. He's a sound designer who started dabbling in game design, and he bought a gas mask and blacked out the eyes so that when you put this thing on, you feel like you're all trapped inside and you cannot see. And then he put in these speakers, and he basically made an audio-only horror game called Deep Sea, where he created like the sound world of basically evading monsters at the bottom of the ocean where you cannot see at all. And to really play it properly, you have to put on this gas mask where you can't see even if you want to. Like, it's like you're in a scuba suit. I only demoed it at GDC, although because it required the gas mask, you know, you couldn't easily play it. So he released online a kind of instructions to kind of DIY a quasi mask in order to be able to play it yourself at home. But I never did that. I just demoed it at GDC, but it was one of the most viscerally terrifying things I've ever experienced in my life. Like, it was so intense. He actually changed career trajectory after it so much because, as he said, he gave a speech where he said, I realized my powers, I was using my powers for evil, basically, because the game was just so terrifying that he was like, I really should make a more like meditative.
How can we find it?
I don't know. It's probably on Steam, but you need to be able to build the. I mean, if you just type Deep Sea Robin Arnott, you'll see photos from GDC and stuff of people playing with the gas mask on. They kind of look like the Scarecrow. But that, to me, was a genius idea of creating horror where you cannot see and you don't even have the option to see. Even if your eyes are open, you are in pitch black. And most people associate, you know, the dark ocean with basically irrational fear. So it's like put someone in that environment. And
I'm making signs of rejection because hate the sea.
Yeah.
I don't like water.
This would be the hardest sell, I think, of any game imaginable for you.
I am very curious. That's for sure. I will probably see if there's a way to see if there's like a video or what you hear or something, just out of curiosity. But putting myself in the spot, I doubt it.
Yeah. I have one last one, which was I never played this, so I wouldn't say I'm recommending it. I just think the concept is amazing. I remember I gave an interview for Game Trailers a long time ago. They don't even exist anymore, but I gave an interview with Game Trailers to talk about the Banner Saga when it came out. And I had to go down to their studio and have a chat with them. And the person who was having an interview right before me, they were all talking about this game she was making, and I got to see it. And then later she did a Kickstarter and stuff for it, and it's like an indie game made by essentially just her, where it's a horror game where it's meant to be very scary, and you put a heart monitor on, like a literal medical device to measure your heart rate and even things like skin temperature and stuff, and the game can recognize the biometric data from that monitor. And basically, the more scared you get and the higher your heart rate goes, the scarier the game gets. So the only way to win is to literally master your fear to the point that your heart rate comes down. And I remember thinking, that is a perfect example. Every now and again, someone comes along with a game idea where I go, only a game could do this. And I get so excited when there is no movie version. There is no novel or theater or music. Or whatever. This is a thing that a game has sole dominion over. And I thought even just knowing that this exists excites me, even though I've never played it. Apparently,
what happened with the campaign?
It went great. It was years ago. I just looked it up, and the campaign ended in 2017. The game, I believe, is called Nevermind. You have to buy, like, it came out on Steam, but you have to buy separately, like, a USB heart rate monitor. So, you know, it's probably a very fringy game. Again, I've never played it. I don't know if the game is actually good or if it's actually scary, but just the idea that your heart rate is part of the gameplay and that there's no way to cheat that. There's no way to, you can't just, you know, use God mode or something. Like, you literally have to get control over your own adrenaline. I think that's so cool. I know that subsequently, when I was Googling it, trying to remember the name of it, it looks like somebody has also recently made a game called Bring to Light, which was a VR game that also measures your heart rate.
Oh, yeah.
And that, it's
I was gonna talk about those as well, but again, I have no experience. I was looking for options for horror stuff in VR, but I'm too coward to get to, you know, to get too deep. Yeah, last time when I put it on, I was showing Sebas, and we were discussing if we should buy some horror thing, and I said, I'll buy anything if you play it. I'm just gonna watch. But we didn't, so yeah, I'm not sure. There, I bet the experiences are just insane in VR. Oh, yeah. It's,
I did once at David and Tiffany's house after we did Journey Live in Calgary. I remember they had something set up in like Resident Evil VR or something, that I remember all of the Fifth House Ensemble were taking turns and everybody was screaming in terror as they cycled through the VR horror experience. But I can't remember what the game was.
Oh.
Just for fun, I just now Googled best horror, like top horror games of all time, to see what lists have been made. And a website, culturedvultures.com, has their 50 top horror. And I'm happy to say that quite a few of mine are near the top of their list.
Nice.
Number two, I mentioned Amnesia. That's their number two horror game of all time. They have Resident Evil as number one, Silent Hill 2 as number three. The Last of Us, they do decide to classify as horror, as number four. Resident Evil 2, number five. A game I never played and I've heard of, but I actually don't know anything about it, called Eternal Darkness, number six.
No idea.
Then Resident Evil 7, then Left 4 Dead, then Soma, then Alien Isolation.
Nice.
Dying Light, which is a game I never got into. The sequel just came out this year, is 11. Then Bioshock, and then just skimming through the list, Dead Space, System Shock 2, Fear, Inside...
So many good options.
Little Nightmares. Seeing if there's any on here that I fully am like, oh, I forgot about that. Doesn't look like it. Five Nights at Freddy's is number 49 on their list.
I did have a little tiny game for you. I have 13 games that I want to mention right now, like super quick.
Let's do it.
This is like think fast. I'm just going to say one thing about the game, and you're going to tell me what game is.
Oh, my. Okay.
Okay, the first word is forgotten.
No idea.
Amnesia.
Oh. So wait, these are my list?
Well, you named some, yeah, I guess.
Okay, all right.
I mean, there's so many video games, horror games, I guess, that we all know. So the next thing is photography.
Photography? I don't know.
Fatal Frame.
Oh, I never played Fatal Frame.
Oh, I asked if you said yes.
No, it's a game I've heard of. It's a game I'm I looked it up just now when you mentioned it, and I was reminding myself, but I never played it.
Yeah, that game is about just taking photos of ghosts.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. Next one is security cameras.
Security cameras. That makes me think of Fear. Because there's a lot of creepy-ass security cameras that you look at in that game. Also, Soma has some of that as well. I don't know.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, I never played it either.
That's why you see. It's all about security cameras. You're just a security guard. You have never seen how...
I guess... No, I haven't. No,
Oh, wow. I thought you knew a little better. I'm disappointed.
Well, I haven't had time. There's too many games.
Next, stars.
Stars? Boy, this is hard. I don't know.
Resident Evil.
Okay.
The stars is a word that you hear through the game, especially Resident Evil 3.
Yeah, well, like I told you, I'm very hit and miss with that franchise.
Yeah, okay. Loop.
Loop?
This, yeah, I guess this is a hard game. I don't think I should post this. You're just Gonna lose everything.
No, it's a fun, it's a fun, interesting chat. But I don't know. I don't know what's loop either.
PT.
Oh, I forgot completely about that. It's not even a full game. It's like a
two-minute demo. But still, you play and
that was quite creepy. Yes.
It was impressively horrible.
Even just watching the video capture of it, I was impressed at how creepy I found it.
I know. It was amazing. So sad, but amazing. Here's the next one. Tall.
Is that Lady Dimitrescu?
Yes. Resident Village. Next one, Cure.
Last of Us?
Yes! Next one. Misty. Or Mist.
Silent Hill.
Yes! You're getting it. Okay. Next one. Extinct.
Extinct? I don't know.
Dino Crisis.
Is Dino Crisis a horror game?
It is a horror game for me. Yes.
I think of that as an action game, like a.
It's like Resident Evil.
That's so funny. I'm not sure I ever actually played that game.
Oh my god, I played it so much in the 90s.
This is like PS1. I never owned a PS1.
I was young. That game is from 1999, and I was a kid when I started playing that game. So.
Survival horror from Capcom. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. I always assumed it was an action game, but I never owned a PlayStation until PlayStation 3.
I played on my computer.
Oh, well, there you go. I didn't even know like I was missing out.
Yeah, next one. Unnoticed.
Well, some kind of hiding. I'll say Alien Isolation because I mentioned hiding.
Inside.
I don't know that I agree with unnoticed as your word for inside.
What will you say?
I would say like for a single word.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like inside. I don't know, like boy or the like a good word for the fact that you end up using those machines to control others, like telepathy or something, or telekinesis. Mm. It's not really telekinesis, though. I need at least two words to effectively.
I think of a notice because you have to literally just pass through
human blob
being seen. Actually,
there's a term for the human blob that they call the huddle. So if you want to use one word for inside, huddle.
How am I supposed to know that?
Because, you know, I'm supposed to be a fangirl.
Yeah, no, I'm a fangirl. I'm not. My English is not very good. So I will say my English is not perfect. But
I did a Google image of the huddle, and the second result is from inside.
Yeah, a very lovely picture, I bet.
Yeah.
I did my best. I'm sorry. I noticed it's the word that I thought it was gonna be okay, but you missed it.
It's not that it's wrong. It's just I never in a million years would I have gotten it.
It's a very hard.
Are good. I just didn't know them.
I didn't know how this game was gonna.
You said
it's probably too vague.
Yeah, no, it's a fun challenge. I like.
Here's the next one. Hell.
Doom.
Yes. Here's the next one. Vents.
Vents? Is that Alien?
Yeah. Hello. Here's the last one. Art Deco.
Art Deco? Oh, come on. That's too easy. System Shock 2.
No.
I'm being silly.
I don't know.
They only call it BioShock so that people realize it's similar to System Shock 2. The word BioShock doesn't even make sense. It was announced as like a quasi-sequel to System Shock 2.
What do you mean it doesn't make sense? It's a biological shock.
It's a game about discovering the downfall of Rapture and
but
and,
you have powers.
That's not what the game is about.
But you
it's
have
a very
powers.
Memorable. It's a very memorable name, but it doesn't really describe the game. At least I don't think so.
Yeah, well,
but it makes it very clear that it's. Oh, I think they should. Maybe. But I think that the game, it did successfully. I remember I was one of those people that when they said a new game from the creators of System Shock 2, in the same vein as System Shock 2 is coming out, that got me in. That I was like, well, sign me up. System Shock 2 was one of my favorite games ever. And so, like, it worked. The whole point was by having something shock, you go,
Right. You should probably ask directly to Ken.
I feel like he has told me before that the name... I'll ask him. It'll be... We'll maybe...
I am actually very curious. You should tell us.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was... I know it was pretty lame of my part because, again, my knowledge of horror games is not as abundant as Austin's. But, yeah.
Well, you can redeem yourself by playing Deep Sea in a gas mask and Dead Space and Soma. And
Dead Space, definitely, yes.
Alien Isolation.
That might be far on my list.
Oh, it's so good.
I will consider.
It is seriously one of the best games ever. And you've already been playing Fireteam, so you're like, you're in the zone.
In the zone. No, I want to preserve my hair dark. So, yeah.
It's worth having gray. all right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening to this us talk lovely. About horror games.
Very inspiring. I am eager to get into this space quickly. But, yeah, guys, tell us which one. Oh, fuck. I asked them which one was their favorite game ever. And I didn't check the answers.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Fail. Oh, my God. Alex, even he answered the tweet. And I also asked on Facebook. I am so the worst. I am so the worst. We probably should read these tweets next time because I know you have to leave.
I was making my way to the Twitter window. But yeah, no, let's just read them next time so we can pay proper attention.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, guys, I'm so sorry. I completely forgot. You know how it is. Okay, not gonna happen ever again. I'm definitely gonna start putting post-it notes like Austin.
Yes, I have many.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Austin. I know you have to run, so be free. And thank you guys for taking the time to listen to our podcast. You know that you can find us on Instagram and Twitter, and we promise we're going to read your messages. We promise we're going to deliver on the next one. I swear. So, yay. Yeah. Until next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.